ran up on the hill about 12 o'clock. Reached right back and got me a poke. Went to the hard one, got me a hook. Placed that line right on that hook. Said, you've been fishing all the time. I'm going to fish you too. I bet your life, your loving wife, catch more fish than you. Any fish bite, got good bait. Here's a little something I've let you lay. Any fish bite, got good bait. I'm going to fish you. Yes, I'm going to fish you. I'm going to fish you too.
This is the Why Fish Radio Podcast with your hosts, Brad and Brad.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another issue of Why Fish Radio. Why Fish is brought to you by Cats on the Red of Lockport, Manitoba. Stu and the boys up at Cats on the Red say the water's back down to level. Just like we said last week, the kitties are biting, although now the bait of choice is frogs. So check them out on the web and book your next trip up to Cats on the Red. That's catsonthered.net. So, as promised in last week's show, we're going to visit a little bit with our good friend Lynn Schlater, the biologist from North Dakota Game and Fish, in charge of the aquatic nuisance species for North Dakota and getting the plan in place for how to prevent this from getting into our fair state. But before we get into business of the ANS, we're going to talk to Lynn for a couple minutes about catfishing at Lockport, because he's been going up there for many years, a good old cat and guy from Nebraska. Lynn, welcome to Why Fish, and tell us a little bit about your experiences catfishing.
Thank you, Brad. It's a pleasure. Catfishing, what a joy. I have always appreciated catfishing. It is such a tremendous thrill to go up to Lockport, to see Stu, to sit on the river, to just plain enjoy life. No cell phones, no pagers, just you, catfish, a few sardines, a little pudding, a cup of coffee. Life doesn't get much better than that in my world. And one of the things that I am concerned about, in fact, all of us that fish should be concerned about, is the problems that aquatic nuisance species present. Aquatic nuisance species. We're talking about zebra mussels, Eurasian water milfoil, silver carp, black carp, you name it. It's those unwanted species that have been brought in from someplace else. They do damage to our fisheries. While a lot of these problems are small and you wouldn't think much about it, a little short trip into biology now. What these ANS do, these aquatic nuisance species, is redirect, reallocate energy flows in the trophic cascade system. What it means is they move energy out of the bottom that can't go to the top species that we're interested in. In this case, the Red River, the channel catfish. You get ANS in there, you're going to reduce basically the food resources that those big cats have available. And we'll see that as less catfish in the Red. In a lot of the other lakes, we'll see it as less walleye, less desirable fish, less native fish. Aquatic nuisance species are a real problem, and they are a problem that we as people really have brought into being. Three main reasons. One, we've got more leisure time. We have more money. And we are basically stuff-oriented stuff. We got to have things to show. And what you see is people buying plants for their aquatic gardens and throwing them out. You see people buying strange fish for the aquariums. Plus, you see us as anglers going more places, spending more time here and there. And with that travel, unfortunately, we might be bringing back some of these problems with us. And it's such a real easy thing to prevent. One of the biggest things is prevention. That's the key. If we know about the problem, which we should know as avid and conscientious sportsmen, we should be able to then take the very simple and needed precautions. We're not talking real major events that'll change our fishing, our hunting, or recreation. What we're talking about is taking those few minutes needed for, I call it housekeeping. Pick the weeds off your boat, the trailer, pick the weeds out of the inside, wash off the boat and trailer as soon as you get a chance, knock all of the crud, the corrosion off, and then take the time and effort to disinfect the bilge, the live wells, make sure nothing's there. And we often do it, is we have a few leftover minnows, leftover leeches. We have some bait that, gosh, there's only a few left, so what do? We pour it in the lake because we'll feed the fish. Well, here's a problem. What could be in that water besides those minnows? And are those minnows something that that system needs? A lot of times we see carp end up in places. Where are those coming from? Well, I don't believe it's pelicans dragging them around. I think somebody with a bait bucket dumped some unwanted fish in. And that's where we've got a problem too. So we need to look at this. People do move things. In fact, I just got a news report that Lake Mille Lacs over in Minnesota, zebra mussels have showed up in that place. I mean, here's another lake that's been infected. It's infested with problems. Well, everybody that goes to or has used Mille Lacs needs to worry now. Did they have some of that bilge water with those small zebra mussels in it? Did they take that with them home? Did they move to another lake, pump the bilge out? Did those fish go in? Mille Lacs got them from somewhere. Whether it came in from the Mississippi River, Lake Pepin's not too far away, or did it come from one of the Great Lakes? Don't know. That's not the problem. The problem is, are those species going to get moved to other lakes, not only in Minnesota, but they, could they end up in North Dakota waters, South Dakota water, Iowa? So it's a problem that we, as outdoor enthusiasts, recreators, need to look at. Doesn't take much for us to housekeep, keep it clean. And the only time I've ever heard of a problem with keeping a boat clean is a friend of mine got into A&S prevention. He has done a real good job of cleaning his boat, washing it out, disinfecting it. In fact, such a good job that his wife kind of made the comment he doesn't need to buy a new boat because the old one looks good enough. That's the only problem I've ever heard of. Not a big problem. It's one I wish we all had. Too much cleaning of the boat. So.
Okay, Lynn, you've covered the what it is, how we can get it out, how we can clean our boats and keep it up. But go a step further. North Dakota, that's your job. What have you done to help keep it out of North Dakota, and what steps are you hoping to take in the near future?
North Dakota was really fortunate that our citizens, our legislature is cognizant of this problem and are really behind this A&S effort. One of the things that we've done, and it is important, which this message is, education. Let people know that there's a problem, how it'll affect them, and ask them to take the simple measures needed to prevent A&S movement. Once the people, we, and I use we in this, the anglers, the outdoor recreators, realize the impacts that A&S can have. Okay, that's the big hurdle. Now that you know that, we're also in North Dakota have got a very strong monitoring program. Over since 2002, we have checked and looked at about 495 water bodies to see if A&S is out there. Well, I'm sorry to report we do have a few. And that's the common carp. That's here. That's an A&S problem. We also have curly leaf pondweed in the Missouri River system, Lake Sakakawea, the river down by Bismarck, North Dakota. It's there. So we're monitoring it. We know where the problems are at. We know what spread they've got, what they're doing. So we've got that in place. The other thing that North Dakota legislature has just done is enacted a law which forms an aquatic invasive species committee comprised of both state entity or state organizations and private individuals. This group is an advisory board to the North Dakota Game and Fish. They're going to help direct the Game and Fish's department's aquatic nuisance species program. We've got that in place. That will be really good. In addition, we've also developing North Dakota's aquatic nuisance species list. Now, every state, every region has a different set of problem species. While you and I may think it's hard to believe, but you get into the Rocky Mountain states, California, Northern Pike, and walleye are considered nuisances. So they don't want those. I'll say this, in North Dakota, Northern Pike, walleye, those are the top two fish that a lot of us look for. So we're going to develop that list so we can identify what we're looking for. Plus, there are some laws now coming onto the books that'll be in place for next year to help us get the message to those people that just don't seem to be able to be reached by education. Those laws are to prevent aquatic vegetation being moved by boat trailers and construction equipment. That's one we got to remember too, being moved. We'll have that in place. We're also looking at bait regulations. We've had those in place for a number of years. A lot of those are there to prevent aquatic nuisance species from being moved into our state. North Dakota, the angler cannot bring live aquatic bait in because of the problems that you can have with possible transfer of Eurasian water milfoil, zebra mussels, unwanted fish species. We've got that to where if you need bait, it's here. It's available in North Dakota. Those are some of the little things we've done that will make a great difference.
I think you've covered everything. Last week's show, we talked about the Mille Lacs thing, Lynn. That's why we said we'd get you on for this next week. And I think you covered how what it is, how to keep it out. If some of our listeners want to learn more, can they get a hold of you, or how would they get a hold of you or find out more information?
Very simple. If you get a hold of our North Dakota Game and Fish homepage, you can write in, contact me, and I will provide you information on aquatic nuisance species, give you some tips on how to prevent it, about any information that you need. If I don't have it at my fingertips, I'll find it for you. I'll do my best to help you prevent the problem. Remember, we get this in here, we're going to lose. And it's you have to make the choice. Lose that hitchhiker, those ANS that are getting a free ride to places. Lose the hitchhiker or lose that lake. It's your choice. It's your future fishing and hunting that you are protecting.
Well, Lynn, we really appreciate you joining us here on Why Fish. That's everything that we're about here at Why Fish, is having fun, being safe, and just protecting it for the future. And I think you've covered that. It's a pretty important subject. And if anybody has any questions, contact Lynn. Contact us here at Why Fish. My email, I haven't put it up in a while, but it's brad@whyfishradio.com. I can certainly forward that along. Now, Lynn, you're going to see Stu in a day or two. By the time this airs, you'll probably be back already, but what do you think? What's the expectations?
I expect to have a great time. I expect to enjoy myself, and I could catch a catfish or two. My goal is to relax.
So since you're here and since you've been seeing Stu and the boys up at Cats on the Red longer than we have, would you recommend them to our listeners?
Definitely. It's one of the most fun places I've been. Stu's a good guy, knows the river. It's a great place to fish. It's the highlight of my summers to get up there and enjoy the fishing.
Well, I think that's a testimonial for a great place to fish, folks. Well, that's going to do it here for us at Why Fish this week. Be sure to stay tuned next week. I'm not sure what the subject's going to be, but I'm sure we'll have something kind of fun set up for you. So until next time, as other Brad would say, Keep your hook in the water, your line tight, and most of all, keep it fun.
You have been listening to the Why Fish Radio Podcast with your hosts, Brad and Brad. For more information, log on to our website at why-fish.com.